should be heard. Rick, this email says, do you want to know what type of people saw wild hogs over the weekend? While in Boise, my friend and I went to a sports bar next to a huge movie theater. There were 40 motorcycles lined up in the parking lot as we were leaving the bar. The movie was letting out. Streaming out of the theater was one leather chap wearing idiot after another. They were all dressed up in their leather jackets and Harley Davidson gear. The best part was a woman and her man dressed in leather head to toe getting into their Honda Accord and driving off. There you go. That's it right there. Yeah, 9 out of 10 people you see every day wearing Harley merchandise are driving cars. At the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gentlemen, your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An Asian sword fight has been shot in the head. He's still in critical condition. Happened around 3:30 yesterday afternoon at the Belmont Market at Southeast 34th Avenue in Belmont. His name hasn't been released since his 40s. He's at OHSU right now. The nature of the injuries is unknown. Police canvass the area looking for the suspect but didn't find anyone. They're hoping witnesses may have seen someone rushing from there and can help track down this person.
So when did this happen?
Yesterday afternoon at 3:30.
And is this the
Belmont
right across
market.
From Hoda's?
Yeah, right across from that kitty corner from the Belmont Inn.
Is the market painted in all those crazy colors?
Right, yeah. Oh, man,
I was just talking to that guy, like, the day before yesterday. It was nice man. Really nice man.
And so, he's in critical condition?
Yes, he is.
All right. And they don't have any, there's no leads, no whatever?
No.
All right. Yeah,
so sucks. And there were a lot of people usually walk around there, so somebody had to see something.
No, well, Sarah and I were just talking about our whole, I mean, it's not like Southeast or some jewel of Portland, like in the best of circumstances, but it's just going to, it's just becoming the suck. I mean, it's just, everything is just, going to hell in that place.
I know.
I will not be leaving, by the way. I will not be part of the great flight out of Southeast. I will stay, but I am saying, it is. I mean, look.
I know my car's been drunkenly smashed into. It's been spray painted.
Spray painted, hit. My car's been stolen twice. A guy gets shot in the face. There's apparently some. Well, we've heard that there's some pervert prowling in Sarah's neighborhood.
I haven't been able to find anything like for sure on that.
Yeah, I want to go get people all jacked up about it. But apparently some ne'er do well. Like the Hawthorne area.
Well, I used
where
to feel
live.
Totally comfortable walking home. You know, from going to the bar or show or whatever, and it's just getting, my neighbor's just getting really sketchy.
The whole thing, well, you know what it is? The worst thing we ever did was to look up that sex offender map where we could see, like, who was being released into our neighborhood, because it just confirmed what we always suspected. All right. There you go.
Meanwhile, the driver in an old passing zone passes, crashes, and dies. Happened yesterday afternoon on Highway 26, 25 miles east of a government camp involving a commercial semi truck and a pickup. Vern Thompson's pickup was thrown out the road, rolled several times. Vern, 66, from Lapine, was driving eastbound, attempting to pass a semi in a no-passing zone. An oncoming semi-truck came around the curb, hit him head-on. He's dead at the scene.
Oh, yeah.
He was involved.
There you go. He was named Vern. It was going to end this way for him, you know,
hey,
one
Vern,
way or another.
You're dead.
Hey, Vern! You're in a shoebox. Wait, was anybody else?
No, just Vern.
The other guy. There's a semi coming the other way. You lose. So there you go. It's just Vern, unable to pass his seed along to another generation from this point on. Well done.
Here's something else to hate. $3 a gallon gasoline is coming back. The best advice is to be aware of the prices of going up, says the AAA. As a matter of fact, they've gone up like the price for a gallon of gas has gone up like 12 cents in the past week. I paid $2.52 in the suburbs, which is usually lower price than Portland.
That's just not right. You would have to pay that price in the suburbs. I don't even know what I paid for gas last time. I've told this to say that I didn't even check. There's nothing I can do about it.
I don't either. I'm like, here's $10.
Seriously. It's just get on with the raping then. You know, just bend over and just take whatever it is you need, and I'll be on my way.
The meter is barely off empty.
Well, I hate to be that guy.
Be that guy.
Thank you. But you know what it is. You know how it is. I say, cueing you that I'm about to engage in a relatable anecdote. You know how it is.
Back in the old Cracker Barrel, you would be churning butter in the old days.
Putting my feet on a barrel of nails and whittling a stick. No, but you go and you give the guy like a 10. You're like, hey, $10, please. And, you know, the...
So you hear him turn it off, and he just walks away from the car, and you hear the click.
Yeah, immediately, you're like, no, I don't think it started.
Hello?
And then you got to wait 12 minutes for him to come back because there's only one person pumping gas for 12 people.
And you got like a 16th of a gallon of gas. I think it was Don Geronimo telling the story the other day that he walked off and he had no cash and he forgot his credit cards as well. And his car was so low he was on, you know, you get that light that comes out like, you're on fumes.
It's always a lie.
I don't know, man. That light frightens me in the car. Do you have that light?
I do, and it goes on when I'm at the bottom of Sylvan Hill. Because the gas shifts from one end of the...
It sloshes forward, yeah. I always wonder, because I think my owner's manual actually says, when that light goes on, that I've got something like 1/8 of a mile left. I think I've got it, or 1 mile. Maybe it's 1 mile even. But anyway, the light goes on, and I become terrified. And so does Don. And he actually said he forgot all this plastic, the light, the you must get gas now light, Starfighter, is or whatever, he's on. So he goes in and he literally is like rifling through the ashtray trying to find change to buy gas. I can't even imagine how little gas you get for change now. God, we do sound old. Jim, hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, that corner down there at 34th and Belmont, you know, in the past that was a really rough stretch of road. The Belmont Inn, there was a murder, or the Belmont Inn, there was a murder there in, I guess it was the early 90s. They took the bartender downstairs after she closed, and they were robbing the place, and they shot her in the basement.
Right.
And then, if you want to really, like, get a feel for what it was like back there, you rent that movie, The Temp. And, they filmed a lot of stuff. In fact, I can't remember the name of the guy who stars in it, escapes me. He gets beat up in the alley behind there.
The Temp?
Yeah, the movie's called The Temp, with Timothy Hutton.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Who it is. And, you know, the Renaissance kind of started when they tore down the dairy and they built Zupans and those things.
I believe the Renaissance has ended.
Yes, well, you know.
It's marked to the Dark Ages.
Yeah, Rebel Mattress isn't there anymore. I don't know if you remember that place. The guy that used to make the reconditioned mattresses, and he had the giant Rebel flags all over
the
Dixie building.
Dixie
Mattress,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah, that really, like, told you what kind of neighborhood you were in when you saw that place.
It's still there. I don't know if it's open, but, yeah, the Confederate flag's still in the window.
Confederate flags are still up, but it was a tough place. The Belmont Inn used to be a live blues bar, so... You know, they had music, and it used to bring a lot of people in. And then another quick story, I was in there one night when the outsiders came in and took over the whole bar, and the bartender totally freaked out, and he called the cops. And that's the only time I can say that I saw more than 100 cops in one place in Florida.
Well, the weird thing about that, about Belmont, is like that Zupan, you mentioned Zupan's in the pie
right
now, is right there. And it seemed on the brink.
Buy a head of lettuce for $20.
Then watch out, son, get shot by a bike.
Here's Charles Manson running around flailing his arms on the street corner.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. The thing about that area, and that's Jim, the thing about that area is it seemed like it was on the brink of gentrification for the last year or so. Now I guess it's fallen back the other way. It's fallen back into the crevasse of crime and poverty.
I was talking to the woman. There's a little thrift store there that's right next to the arcade. I can't remember what it's called. The one right on Belmont.
Yeah, I know where the Nickel Arcade is. Yeah.
So there's a thrift store right there, and she said that her lease is almost up because they're tearing down that entire area, like, between Belmont Inn and then, like, that next block over. They're tearing it down and making another huge, you know, monstrous building.
Did you know they're tearing down the Virginia Cafe?
What?
They're getting rid of the Virginia Cafe.
They are. They're going to build a skyscraper.
How much does that suck? They're putting in like another... And I'm not some guy that's opposed to big buildings, and I'm not some guy that feels like everything's got to be preserved just because it's old. I don't necessarily always think that something that's there is better than something that's going to be there. You know what I mean? In other words, sometimes a building goes and a better building comes up. I have nothing against progress. I have nothing against skyscrapers. I have nothing against science and technology in the world of tomorrow. I'm just saying the Virginia Cafe is a cool place. I don't even really go there that much because you come out just smelling like an ashtray. And it's just, I mean, for a place, that place... I mean, there's a lot of places you go and you smell like cigarettes. That place, you literally smell like the inside of a cigarette. I mean, that I have never found a more smoke-saturated place than the Virginia Cafe. So I don't really go there, but I like the fact that it's there, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of places
I
don't go.
That's about the Rose and the Raindrop.
Yeah.
That place is beautiful. I mean, they're just going to gut it and make it a bank.
Exactly.
That is so depressing.
And I only went to the Rose and Raindrop like 3-4 times in my whole life, but I like the fact that it was there. So the fact that they're tearing down the Virginia Cafe kind of pisses me off. And because you know the next place on that list is going to be my father's place. And then I swear to God, though, I'll kill someone.
They can't hear it. Well, it's attached to the slow bar, and that's fairly new.
Man.
I had a day-old muffin there once, and it was delicious.
That's right. It was the only thing on the menu you could eat. Because everything else there is just everything else is just boiled in lard. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Hey, there was a big collision in the Smokalmie Pass over the weekend. This is I-90 eastbound of Seattle. It involved 60 vehicles crashing into each other. 50 cars and 8 to 10 tractor trailers were involved in a series of collisions. Apparently, it took place in a steep, icy section of the road. So stay away from that.
Yeah, don't go there.
Then it is bad. All right. So the big thing over the weekend, in case you did watch television, was Hillary Clinton is back in the news, and she was the main story. As a matter of fact, she visited the southern states to talk to some other folks who might vote for her. And one of the places that she stopped into was a place in Kentucky. It was a church, and as a matter of fact, all of a sudden, this woman from wherever she is...
Now, where is she from?
Originally, she's from, like, Illinois.
Okay, so not the South.
No. I mean, she can claim to be from several places, as most politicians do.
As George Bush does.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she's talking to a group of African-Americans, we understand. All of a sudden, she gets this southern accent while she's speaking, and people are just thrilled to death, as one might imagine.
All right, do you want me to play this right here?
Yes,
please. Okay, so this is... It may not seem like it, but I swear to God, this is Hillary Clinton. This is not a joke. This is the way Hillary Clinton... If you would like to know what pandering sounds like, if you would like to know what's absolute pandering to the lowest common denominator and hustling for every vote in as shameless a fashion as you have ever heard sounds like, attention, right here, ladies and gentlemen. The sound you are about to hear is actually the speaking voice of Hillary Clinton.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far. From where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy. I could have listened all afternoon. That pulse that you found so faint, you have brought back to life. And the chair of all the mayors in the country, Mayor Palmer from Trenton, New Jersey.
Oh, good God. Let's hear that first. And it's the first sentence of all of these.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that there's actually even more of this out there. This is the only one I have, though. This is in, was it Kentucky?
I believe so, yes.
All right, let's listen to that first sentence again. That's where she really sells it.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far. From where I started from.
From where I started from. That's incorrect in like 15 different ways. First of all, you don't end a sentence with a preposition. Secondly, if you're going to put a preposition at the end, you don't need to put it at the beginning, and vice versa. From where I started from. Anyway, and she, where you're from, by the way, is from Illinois. You are not an Appalachian.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
Is she reading a quote?
It burns. I don't even know what she's reading. And
I bet it's a Martin Luther King thing. It has to be.
It's got
to
be a Martin Luther King thing, or it's got to be a Bible quote, or quite possibly a Bible quote that Martin Luther King used to say. It's got to be. Now, is this a large, this is a black church she's at?
No, yes, yes.
Yes, because we all know blacks can't speak proper English at all.
I don't feel no way tired.
Oh, good God.
I'm too far.
Oh, it makes my skin crawl. Crawl is an insufficient word for what that does to my skin. It's like I'm covered with thousands of aphids all at once. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, I gotta hear it again.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
Oh, you know what she sounds
Christ
like?
Almighty.
She sounds like James Vanderbeek. He's like, I don't want your life.
I don't want your life. James Van Der Beek in Varsity Blues.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Or,
I don't feel.
Oh, totally.
I don't want.
In West Texas, football is a religion. Oh, good God Almighty.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
I don't want your life. Joe, somebody find me the James Van Der Beek clip. Somebody please. Somebody please find me James Van Der Beek. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, as much as I think that Hillary Clinton's a demon spawn from hell in this thing, I do have to point out that she's actually, in that clip, reading, I think it's either a poem or a song written by George Washington Carver.
Okay, but that's still not her voice. That's still not her accent.
No.
I don't feel no way it's not. Tired.
Best show ever.
Come
bye.
Thank you. From where I started from. No.
don't think George Washington Carver wrote that.
I don't feel no way.
George Washington Carver's like the smartest guy in the history of the world.
He was some peanut researcher or something. He was a big guy.
Yeah, he was.
In the world of peanuts.
You know, George Washington Carver, you know, he just owned like 50 of the same suit so that in the morning he wouldn't have to think. He had this whole formula he created about how much time he saved over the course of his life by not having to think about what he was going to wear that day. So all of his suits were the same.
Oh.
I don't feel no way tired.
See, even if you're going to read that, okay, even if that wasn't, and I'm perfect.
I don't feel in no way tired.
I don't understand. I don't know. I really don't know. Well, let's play the whole thing through one more time, and then we'll, because we're going to come back to it like 100 times today. So let me just say several things here. A, I'll play this again in a second. B, even if we assume that she didn't, and I'm perfectly willing to believe that that's not her writing. If it is, though, can you imagine how sweet it would be if she, that was something she wrote? If that was like an original Hillary Clinton poem.
And she's crossed words out 100 times. And rewritten.
I don't know. I don't neither know. Thirdly, I don't even know. There's just so much here. I don't even know how to deal with this. All right, I'm just going to play this one. Oh, it's that this is in Kentucky, but she apparently did another speech somewhere else.
I got that one.
You have the Selma? Is she speaking with an accent in Selma?
I haven't heard these yet.
All right. I don't think she was. Because Drudge posted a speech that she gave, and I went to listen to it, and it was already gone. It had been removed. Later on Breitbart, I found this one, but I'm unclear about whether this is the same speech he was referring to. In other words, I wonder if this is an isolated incident, or if she does this every time she speaks to a black audience, and this is just the first time it's been caught. So.
I don't feel no way tired. I'm too far from where I started from.
The crowd loves it too.
You told me that the road would be easy. I could have listened all afternoon. That pulse that you found so faint, you have brought back to life. And the chair of all the mayors in the country, Mayor Palmer from Trenton, New Jersey.
She could have listened all afternoon.
All they have to do is ax her.
Genius. It's fantastic. And you know, this is the problem when you're living with Bill Clinton. It's like you start to think that you have that ability. That's the thing. It's like how Stephen King's wife, Tabitha, eventually wrote a novel. She figured she'd lived with him for 20 years, and so why not? Why not give it a whack? Living with Bill Clinton does not make you black, all right? Living with Bill Clinton does not make you a good public speaker. Living with Bill Clinton does not give you magically through osmosis. It's not like the common cold where somehow you live with him and you got it. It doesn't give you the miraculous ability to commune that way. So that's fantastic. Excellent.
Well done.
All right.
So speaking in Selma, Alabama, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton said the March for Equality is not over yet.
And after all the hard work,
and suddenly
getting rid of the literacy tests and the poll taxes, fighting for the right to vote, bringing more people into the economic mainstream, a body does get tired.
A body does.
But we've got to stay awake.
Okay,
so she tells African Americans, you just have to keep on marching.
We have a march to finish.
Yes. And by we mean you.
One America that should be all America was meant to be. That too many people before us have given of themselves time and again to make real.
She's doing a little bit there at the end. She's doing this. She's got that accent coming just a little bit. A body does get tired. I wonder if she quoting somebody there, or is that like original Hillary lingo too? Because that's really that. I mean,
I don't think Bill Clinton would have ever said that.
No.
His body never got tired.
No. it's like she's living inside. It's like she's living inside Adventures of Tom and Huck or something. That's the thing about Bill and Hillary is that she doesn't. No matter how smart she is, no matter how much she really ought to be president one way or the other, and I'm not saying she does. Maybe she should. Maybe she shouldn't. The thing is, she just doesn't have Bill's ability. That's the thing. He's just a natural. He's an absolute natural, and she's just not. And you can tell that she doesn't really know how to relate to people. She doesn't really know how to talk to people. She's just sort of doing this bad emulation of what she's seen him do. Bill would never oversell it that way. Bill Clinton would never say, a body does get tired. I don't want your life. He would just say, and we do get tired, but the march continues. I mean, he would totally do that, and then he would just leave it at that. Oh, man, I wish Lisa Goddard was back on the phone. How I wish to ask her. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'm going to ask her all about it. Oh, somebody has sent me
Damn it, I've been looking for it this whole time.
No, not the James Vanderbeek thing. Somebody had sent me the, apparently, what she was quoting. All right, well, I'll try to get back to this. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So at the same time that Hillary's speaking in Selma, right across town is Barack Obama, marking the 42nd anniversary of the Civil Rights March there. He made a speech at the Brown Chapel AME Church. He likened today's generation and the Civil Rights generation to the old... Oh, he's doing Bible...
Oh, no!
Yes, he is already. The Civil Rights generation to the Old Testament's Joshua and Moses.
Moses told the Joshua generation, don't forget where you came from.
He's becoming Jesse
and
Jackson.
And I worry sometimes that the Joshua generation, in its success, forgets where it came from. Thinks it doesn't have to make as many sacrifices.
And he went on to refer to a speech made by JFK.
Of course, telling blacks what to do.
It's not enough just to ask what the government can do for us. It's important for us to ask what we can do for ourselves.
Okay. You can't just quote someone else and then pretend. He's just trying to pass off JFK's words as his own. You can't just do that. All right, let's get Darren. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Hey. She sounds like Eugene Levy from Waiting for Guffman when he's going, how far of a bridge I could not tell.
Somebody else just said that she sounds just like Catherine O'Hara in Waiting for Guffman. Exactly. They're doing those terrible accents at the end. Oh, that's fantastic. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for all of us.
I thought it was a joke at first.
No, that's exactly...
I don't feel no way tired.
Oh, it's genius. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, wanted to... It's just so funny seeing that and your difficulty in trying to get a hold of the audio portion of that broadcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because it was posted last night and then it was already off of YouTube. And then somebody else had it this morning. Yeah.
Well, I think Hillary probably learned a lesson from H. Ross Perot, because remember back when he was running, all he had to say to the black audience was, you people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she learned her lesson well.
Yeah, no, it's true.
We're gonna yank that baby down as soon as it got on YouTube or wherever.
No, it's true. People have to realize that they are always on camera now. You are never not on camera in this life.
Right. Oh, yeah, I think I saw, who was it? He was on C-SPAN or something like that. I mean, his whole thing was, like, covered the whole deal. I remember watching that thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything was that bad, not compared to what I'm hearing off of your program today.
Well, this is just genius. This Hillary thing is genius. All right, thank you, sir. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that Ross Perot, I don't remember the actual context, I will have to paraphrase, but that was Ross Perot. These are the moments one lives for when you talk about politics. When Ross Perot was speaking to the NAACP, and he said, what you people need to realize, and it's like, it's one of those things, I'm not even, it doesn't seem like a racist man, I don't know. It seemed like a thing that he said, and a rather, like so many comments that come out of Dennis Pitzenbarger's mouth, that I'm sure he meant in an innocuous fashion, like when Joe Biden said that Barack Obama was clean and, I don't know, had all his teeth or whatever it is. He speaks well or whatever. But Ross Perot was like, you people need to realize. And it's just as soon as you said that, you could just hear C-SPAN. Like, let's run this every hour on the hour for the rest of you people. I forgot all about that. Ross Perot, what a weird, strange slice of American history that was. All right. Well, we should take a break here. And come back after this. Dr. Clive Lewis. More from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, later on Jim Roop. Again, yeah, Rick, Hillary's voice sounds exactly like Catherine O'Hara at the end of Waiting for Guffman. Isn't that right, Donkey? Yes, it is, sir. 503-733-2970. Back after this, you stay right there.
I don't feel no way tired.
The public. Selling things. Cause panic and so forth. All right. Is anybody else reporting?
No, not yet.
Right.
But I mean, it's been so speculated over the past. I heard about it when I went out of town a couple of weeks ago and came back.
Right.
We'll see.
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You turn my machine up over here. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com.
I don't feel no way tired. I come too far.
She just sounds retarded. And I don't mean like silly. I mean literally like retarded.
Tonight's guest on Hee-Haw.
Population 340. Salute. Good God Almighty. All right. You can email me like it's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop and so forth. All right. The hell are we doing here? Oh, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Ground Zero Lounge and GroundZeroMedia.org. Our good friend Clyde Lewis. Hello, sir.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, great. It's going to be creepy, depresso, Clyde.
No, it's not. I'm not feeling well. I'm sick.
I'm sure it's something innocuous.
I'm laying here in bed right now.
All right. I'm sure it's something innocuous, not at all something the government gave you.
No, I just caught up from my boss at work, and I'm here. Okay. Kind of laying in bed, so.
So what's up in the world of the kooky?
You seen the Zodiac Killer? You seen the Zodiac movie yet?
I did. It's genius.
It's beautiful.
Hey, it's a fantastic film. It nails the 70s look more than any film I have ever seen in my life.
Except for the Doritos.
Are there Doritos?
They're Doritos that are in 2006 packaging. I thought that was pretty real.
Oh,
weird.
Why do you do that? Why ruin it for thanks?
It was a great film. I loved the film.
No, it was fantastic. It really was genius.
I thought Gyllenhaal wasn't that good in it, though.
He wasn't the best thing, but there were a lot of people. Mark Ruffalo or whatever his name is, he was a lot better. Downey Jr. was really good.
Downey Jr. was great. Ruffalo was awesome.
Anthony Roberts or whatever that guy's name is, he was really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a great film, though, all the way around.
The only thing is the movie itself and the Zodiac Killer, it's kind of odd the way things kind of fall into place. I did a Ground Zero Lounge on February 5th. And I was up on stage, and I was talking about a number of number sequences, and some strangeness that was going on in a Chicago business that was on 311 Wacker Street,
right.
Wacker Drive, which is right near the Sears Tower.
Yeah.
Somebody had mailed a pipe bomb to that address, and they also mailed a pipe bomb to an address in Kansas City. And so I was going off on the numbers and everything else, and it was around the time, remember the Aqua Teen Hunger Force scare?
Right, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Well, it's funny because I had set up on stage, you know, it's funny the way here in Portland we had a bunch of Aqua Teen Hunger Force LED boards everywhere, and no one cared. But in Boston, they really cared. And I said on the stage, I said, well, maybe it's because they know of a bomber, or they know of a killer, or somebody that's on the loose, or some sort of terrorist that's on the loose, that may wreak havoc with a bomb. And so I did some digging, and I found these two stories about Chicago and about Kansas City and how these pipe bombs were sent to these businesses. And so in the meantime, I was talking about the number 311 and how on March 11th, 2007, it will be daylight savings time. And I said, and it's really funny, but weirdos and strange people always find sequences and numbers, and they always try to...
Yes, they do.
They always try to use them, when they're committing acts of... when they commit crimes or what have you. And I says, one of the numbers that sticks out is the number 23, and of course we have that movie out right now with Jim Carrey. And I said, the 23 number is also a number of chaos that people really pay attention to. Well, I said, it's obvious to me that some strangeness is going on, because you take a look at the number, the date of daylight savings time, which will be March 11th, 2007. You add up 3/11/2007, it adds up to 23.
Oh, for the love of...
And then what happens also is that... Now, you let me finish before you be such a jerk, okay?
No,
you're being a jerk. Listen to me. This is very important.
All right. Calm down.
Okay.
Don't be obnoxious.
This is very important. You're being obnoxious. Listen to me. So, anyway, 3/11/2007...
Right. Seriously, you got to calm down.
No, I'm fine. I want to tell you this story because it's amazing.
I'm allowed to roll my eyes.
You're allowed to roll your eyes, but it's very important that you hear this. So 3/11/2007 adds up to 23, and then of course they remove an hour for the daylight savings time, which gives you 23 hours in your day. You do it between 2 and 3. Something might happen on that date. I'll tell you why.
Clyde,
what?
Are you on some kind of medication?
No, I am not on any medication. That's what I'm saying.
I think I speak for everyone when I say that you're being a little pokey.
Let me see. If I don't get this story out, it'll sound all cocked. And you got to listen to me.
It'll sound what?
It'll sound cockeyed and weird. Listen to me.
Okay.
So these numbers, I start throwing them out, and they're really strange. So this guy named BTU, he calls himself BTU, gets on Google Video and types all this weird stuff about how in 23 minutes of my rant, I start talking about these numbers. I start talking about these addresses in Chicago and Kansas and everything else and all this weird stuff's going on. And then he posts this story about this mad bomber. And you've never heard of him because he's not quite in the mainstream yet, called the Bishop. Have you heard of the Bishop?
I don't know.
No, you probably haven't. The Bishop is this guy who writes letters, threatening letters, to business institutions demanding that they put their stock prices at 666. And he sent the bombs to addresses that had meetings with certain numbers of 33 and 23, and he's just really a strange cat. Well, he starts writing these letters, and he's a lot like the Zodiac, because he starts saying things like, he starts talking about paradise, and he starts talking about kids, and how it would be really sad if all these kids were killed. And I don't know if you know this or not, but when the Zodiac killer killed the cab driver, that was the last victim he killed. And then he sent out letters saying that he was going to pop off school children by bombing their school buses.
You seem unusually cranked up about all of this today. I think I speak for everybody in the room when I say that.
But see, the strange part is that even though, what's that guy, Arthur Lee, what was his name?
Yeah, in the movie.
In the movie. They said that he may have been the suspect, but the truth of the matter is they never found the Zodiac killer.
Right, because he died before they could come bring him back.
That's what they claim. This guy, the Bishop, he's doing all the things that the Zodiac did. He's doing all the things that Ted Kaczynski did. And I don't know if you know this or not, but a lot of people thought that Kaczynski was the Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
And they were doing a lot of comparisons. He also talks about this Lee Malvo guy, the DC sniper. Now, these guys all did the same thing. They used strange numbers. They used strange, like, cards and tarot cards. And they used, even the Unabomber used symbols and numbers, because he was a mathematician. So this guy is either a copycat of the Zodiac, or he is the Zodiac, who's reinvented himself as the Bishop. And the Bishop, now get a look, this is really weird. The Bishop is, the police are saying that perhaps he is mimicking a Charles Bronson character called Bishop, who sent a letter that said, time's up, or bang, bang, you're dead. And this guy did send letters like that. But there's another thing that's very interesting, too. There is a skit done by Monty Python called The Bishop, and it's about a mad bishop that blows up vicars in churches. It's the most amazing thing.
Okay.
And so, what I'm trying to get at here is...
I have no idea what you're trying to get at.
Let me get at.
You sound really, really obnoxious today.
No, listen to me. You
really do.
Even though the Zodiac movie is in theaters right now, and they have the number 23 in theaters right now, there's all kinds of strangeness regarding the numbers and this guy, this Bishop guy. And I just find it odd that if you go and you look, you can go to Google Video and type in my name. There's a guy named BTU who's putting stuff up.
Saying stuff like this guy is
like onto something really strange, and it's just got me weirded out because the Zodiac and the Bishop, and some guy also sent me a letter. He said, how wonderful of a treat it is to see your stuff on Google Video, and he starts quoting these scriptures from Genesis 11. And then he says, it talks about the Zodiac and the Aquarius. And I never talked about the Zodiac.
Yes. Is there something going on you'd like to talk to us about, Clyde?
No, I'm saying this is weirding me out because personal the Zodiac killer thing, it was an amazing movie, but then this guy, the Bishop, is being tracked by the FBI, and he's like this guy who's threatening to bomb places. And what I'm getting at here is that the Aqua Teen Hunger Force thing, when it first started, was probably, everybody laughed and said that Boston overreacted. But they probably got the tip that this guy, this mad bomber, is around, and he's planting bombs everywhere in the world, or everywhere in the country. And he's blurring the lines between criminality and domestic terrorism. And so we need to pay attention to this, because if he decides that he's just going to make a bomb work, we could have another horrible terrorist attack, but it could be from one of our people, not from a Muslim, not from anything like that. It would be one of ours.
All right. Are you going to be talking about this today?
I don't know.
Well, okay. There you go, kids. All right, Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, groundzeromedia.org. There you go. Clyde Lewis and so forth.
Good God almighty.
I think Clyde has gone a little wacky. All right.
Well, you guys are totally like brothers where you were starting to bicker back and forth.
You know, whatever. I wasn't bickering at all. I want to go pick on a fight with Clyde on the air. I wasn't bickering at all. He was going on about some guy on the internet who was doing a thing or whatever, and I kind of did what I always do, which is kind of go, uh-huh, and then he, like, came unglued. So I'm not going to... We're just going to move on. I got the... Yeah. All right. 503-733... I'll pass, thanks. It's 503-733-2970. It's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. So, who has good polling numbers for Republican in Oregon? It's Rudy Giuliani.
He's picking up steam, it says. Even Democrats apparently like him. So if he's liked in Oregon, that means he's going to lose elsewhere.
He's 22 points ahead of McCain nationally, but as you pointed out, we'll end up winning nothing.
Right.
Nothing at the end. And the Republicans have no... I mean, not that the Democrats are doing any better. I mean, the Democrats... It's so weird, though, that Hillary and Obama have been in the same cities. It's like that thing that happened in the late 80s where Roger Waters and Pink Floyd were on the road together, like playing at venues across town from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who the... I mean, the Democrats are going to end up putting up Hillary, if they're going to end up putting Barack or some combination of the two. But the Republicans all have so far have nobody. They have nobody. They have nobody and no one. If they put up Giuliani, he's going to be beaten into a paste. The McCain probably won't even last that long. McCain will implode and self-destruct before he can even get to the nominating process. It is kind of too bad for the Republicans that Schwarzenegger at this point can't run because he probably has a better chance than anybody else. In fact, we're going to be talking to Roop later on about Giuliani and Schwarzenegger. So there you go. And by the way, as you said, being popular in Oregon, that's a one-way ticket to imploding on the national stage.
Yep.
All right.
Meanwhile, Republicans and Democrats alike are criticizing Ann Coulter over a comment she made about presidential hopeful Democrat John Edwards, who doesn't have a chance either. In a speech to the American Conservative Union's Political Action Committee, the conservative referred to Edwards as, quote, this is her speaking now, not us, quote, a faggot, unquote.
Do we have the audio?
Oh, and I was going to have a few comments on the other presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So,
And then they applaud.
Yeah, they applaud.
That's the best slash worst slash most horrifying thing about it is that then they applaud, which is just, I mean, we were talking earlier about whoever, what it is this church congregation where...
I don't feel no way tired.
Where the idiots are applauding Hillary Clinton and her fake pandering accent. But this is so much worse. Can you play that one more time? This is Ann Coulter.
I was going to have a few comments on the other presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So...
Sorry, I had my headphones off. She said that?
Yeah, she said, and then she got applause and cheers.
Yeah, and that's and on her website today, I don't have the actual paper, the news article in front of me, but she said on her website this morning, where
she was joking,
and then she said,
what?
She says, quote, something, I don't have it in front of me, but she says something along the lines of, I'm so, what did she say? She said, I'm so sorry, I can't stop laughing. Yeah, that's what she said on her website this morning.
Oh, I almost used the C word.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be seeing her next Tuesday or for at any time in the near future.
I'm surprised the bounty hasn't been put on.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's what we did. Tim and I were talking before the show, and I was saying it again. I'm simply making this observation
don't
as a journalist.
Don't you love it when stupid people finally make, like, the biggest mistake of their lives,
yes,
and they'll just go away?
Yeah.
No, she keeps going, and the Republicans like this type of thing.
To be fair, Rudy Giuliani,
that's
John
right,
McCain, and so forth, they did put out a bunch of statements this morning saying, like, we don't know her. I don't have any, and who? I'm not quite sure. So whether they agree on the inside, they are certainly not agreeing with her on the outside. But I really am amazed. And again, we do not advocate violence on the Rick Emerson Show.
No.
Violence as a solution, while effective, is wrong. And while effective, is immoral. And illegal, not something you should pursue. I am simply saying, I am surprised that somebody, maybe somebody with 6 weeks to live and a serious grudge and nothing much to lose in their life, hasn't decided... just to go and take a shot at her. I got to tell you, it does seem like at this point you'd be hard pressed to find a jury that would convict you if you did that.
Can I hear that one more time?
Yeah, this is where was she speaking?
She was speaking to the the American Conservative Union's, of course, Political Action Committee.
All right.
So I think it's important
that's
that we...
John
Edwards. Oh, and I was going to have a few comments on the other presidential candidate, John Edwards, but it turns out that you have to go into rehab if you use the word faggot. So...
I mean, perhaps somebody wants to sharpen up on their beheading skills.
And that woman, something bad is going to happen to her.
Not that anybody needs to belabor how hideous it is. The thing that is just, like, so off the charts to me about it is, I mean, Not that this would in any way make it more acceptable, but of course, you know, to our knowledge, John Edwards is not a gay man, so not that that would make it a more acceptable comment, but what it indicates...
Is it supposed to be some kind of derogatory?
Well, that's what I'm saying is, it's like she had a bag of slurs sitting around, and she used all of the other ones up for other speeches, but like she had that one left laying around. She's like, well, I don't want to leave without using all of these slurs. I better find a way to slip this one in. And so she just jammed it into the speech, like for no readily apparent reason. It has no relevance to anything. And, you know, we're not five anymore. We're not in grade school. It's not 1982. And the idea that that crowd would have laughed and then applauded it. I mean, the fact that she hadn't just been tarred and feathered and run and just shot into the sun on top of a rocket just astounds me. So, anyway, and I mean, and I'm not even going to sit and go on about how Ann Coulter is clearly crazy, because I think we all figured that out. We've all been on that train for quite some time.
She wasn't the one that you thought was strangely hot, was
no,
she?
No, no, hell no. No, F that. She's a man, baby. I mean, she's got big-ass hands and an Adam's apple.
And a head of a horse.
Seriously, she's got the jaw structure of John Elway. There's no way. But... I mean, she's the one that last year was saying that she called the 9/11 widows a bunch of harpies. She said that
that lady.
She said that how do we know that their husbands, these 9/11 widows, how do we know the husbands weren't getting ready to divorce them? It's only a matter of time before they pose for Playboy. I've never seen a happier bunch of widows. That's what she said about the 9/11 widows. So, yeah, she's...
Damn, so Sharon said all that stuff and she still hasn't gone away.
I'm just saying. I'm surprised someone hasn't made her go away with extreme prejudice. All right, Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up?
You were on the phone with Clyde Lewis.
Yes, sir.
I was at mile marker 222 and 223. And just as you picked up, I passed mile marker 230. I think that means Hillary's a robot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. There you go. That's,
don't forget to use the square roots on those.
Fantastic. Seriously. Yeah, so that happened over the weekend.
So then John Edwards comes back.
I think it's important that we not reward hateful, selfish, childish behavior with attention. I also believe that it's important for all of us to speak out against language of this kind.
Never going to be perfect. Pack it, look.
I thought that was good.
I know. I'm just saying.
But it'll never be elected.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't like Ann Coulter any more than anybody else. But that guy, it's just as a side note. You should just pack it up, friend.
Yeah.
Just go home to your, like, 9 million square foot house that you just built. And, you know, you're like 300 grand a year at law practice. And just, you know, just whatever. Be a guy who ran for vice president someday. Obama or any of those? Well, they probably haven't made any speech about it.
No.
They don't want to give John Edwards any attention. But, yeah, seriously. I'm just saying, if Ann Coulter turns up tomorrow beaten to death with a shovel, I'm just saying I will not, of course, be in favor of that, but it is something that would not surprise me in the slightest.
I don't think a shovel would do it.
She's like the T-1000. Uh-huh. She's got an endoskeleton.
Yeah. You can bring a shovel along just in case. Initially, what do you Susquehanna chainsaw?
What do you recommend? Fire and lots of it.
Flame throwing.
I wish I would sometimes be in the same bathroom as her, and then I'd stand behind her and cut off all of her hair.
Oh, like Britney style? Just shave her head.
Yes.
You're in the solitary.
She's just a horrible person. I mean, she's just a terrible person.
I can't believe that came out of her mouth.
Oh, I can. Oh, I can absolutely believe it. I can absolutely believe it. So there you go. So there's Ann Coulter. So there's the daily dose of attention whoring for her. Seriously. All right. I mean, God forbid. And I mean this now. God forbid that one day she is in a crosswalk.
Because God has a very special place for her, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. God is preparing the most peculiar of permanent residences for Ann Coulter right now. All right. I'd be curious to see if the White House has any comment on that. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, it's time to, quote, shine the bright light on the entire system. 1,000 points of light. And treating injured troops. White House spokesman Tony Snow opened his daily news conference offering those words. Snow said President Bush says it's important to find out what's going wrong at Walter Reed.
What he has been doing is making sure that people take a good look to find out what the situation is. No excuses. Get the facts. Get it fixed.
This is just like Hurricane Katrina, isn't it?
Here you have a very rapid and definitive response on the part of the Department of Defense. You have a very rapid and definitive response on the part of the White House and the VA. No comparison.
All right. Okay. So there you go. So be all you can be. And all you can be means, of course, neglected and covered with rats after having several of your limbs and genitals blown off while serving your country. So there you go. Good times for all.
Dick Cheney checks in.
Going to fix the problems at Walter Reed, period.
He just, his voice just fills me with dread. Every time he speaks.
Going to fix the problems at Walter Reed, period.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. I mean, every time he talks, I can just picture him from across the room just doing the Jedi thing on that guy's trachea. All right. As Scotty is noting on the screen, Rick, you're proving the point that Democrats are violent and not peaceful. First of all, nobody in this room is a Democrat.
No, nobody in here is a Democrat.
Nobody in this room is a Democrat, brother. And secondly, I don't think anybody has ever accused this show of being peaceful. I got a whole long list of people that should be beaten with shovels. I got a long list longer than Richard Nixon ever dreamed of. A whole lot of people that ought to be taken out back and just beaten savagely with any number of blunt instruments. So, yeah, I can direct those comments at somebody else, friend. Here's Tim Riley.
Then we have Army Staff Sergeant John Shannon, who suffered a brain injury and lost an eye in Iraq, testifying before a U.S. House hearing at Walter Reed.
I want to leave this place. I've seen so many soldiers get so frustrated with the process that they will sign anything presented to them just so they can get on with their lives.
Jeremy Duncan describes his room of black mold.
It wouldn't fit for anybody to live in a room like that. I know most soldiers have, just come out of recovery, you have weaker immune systems. The black mold can do damage to people.
A room of black mold?
Yes.
I'm sorry, that just sounded like a bad title.
There's a long wait for it.
Of a bad horror ask about a room of black mold. Is that right next to the safari room and like the circus room? Jesus, God almighty. And I like the idea that, I mean, God love her, but at least Scotter was trying to put the best face on things. And it's just this one building. It's just all of building 18 that's filled with rats. They go, what am I paying taxes for? Grab these kids out of high school and send them over there so they can be blown into pieces so they can be come back over here and put into rooms filled with mold and roaches. Good God almighty. All right, we're so behind. Let's do one more here. We'll break. We'll come back. We'll do more news. We'll talk to Jim Roop. Are we halfway through the show already?
We are almost.
Sweet Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Thank Hillary for that.
let's thank her right now in our own
position. I don't feel no way tired. Too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy.
And you know, it only encourages her when they applaud like that. I should just do the rest of this show in a cornpone accent. Just, see what it does. See what it is. Even energizes the base, as they say. Here's Tim Riley.
A Houston woman who weighed 841 pounds has died following gastric bypass surgery.
Okay.
It's believed Renee Williams was the largest person to ever undergo the procedure. She was 29 years old. She was hoping to lose 600 pounds, but she died of a massive heart attack last night.
Well, now she'll lose it all.
Then there is Jared Leto. Broken body parts, he says, equals good entertainment. Apparently, the actor was performing with his rock band that's called 30 Seconds to Mars in El Paso when he was rushed by fans after entering the crowd. His nose was broken, also suffered injuries to his foot and body. Despite that, Jared called the show one of the best he's ever done.
Because he's all hardcore and whatnot. All right.
He's got street credentials.
Yeah, he really does. All right, it's 503-733-2970. You know what irritates me about that guy? What irritates me about him is he's such a good actor, so I can't even really hate him. You know what I mean? He's like Keanu Reeves, I can hate. I can hate Keanu Reeves because he's not really, because he's Keanu Reeves and he's good looking and he's famous and he's rich and he's in a band and he's whatever. But he can't really act, so at least I can point to that he is perhaps the most wooden and talentless actor of my generation. Hang my hat on the fact that he's not really good at that. With Jared Leto, he's like the best looking guy on the planet, and he's rich, and he's famous, and he's in a successful, if not terribly good, rock band. And then on top of it, he's a fantastic actor. This is really, it's like Johnny Depp. There's no weakness there. There's no flaws. Just wall after wall of stunning perfection. It just fills me with a deep black hatred is what it does, like so many other things. All right, we should break here. We'll come back. Hey, apparently that house on Emerson Street was on the Geraldo show yesterday. Fantastic.
Where's the Geraldo show to be found?
That's a good question.
I've never heard anybody talk about the Geraldo show.
No, in fact, now that I'm reading this, I thought the Geraldo show got canceled. It's all very mysterious. Back with more from Tim Riley, Jim Roop, and more. You stay there.